everybody. Here we are with the Auto Flower Review. Sure appreciate you joining us, and I hope you guys are having a good Friday so far. Wanted to do just kind of a quick episode today addressing primarily pH issues. This is something that we have talked about a few times in previous episodes, but we have had several people with pH issues in the Discord, and so felt like it was probably a good idea to kind of go over that again. And so we'll keep today's episode pretty short because it's actually kind of simple. First of all, you need to make a priority to have a pH meter. I can't stress the importance of that. Without an accurate, consistent meter, you will probably run into many issues. And even if you have one, you have to really stay on top of keeping it calibrated. It's super, super annoying to do. I really, really hate it myself. But I try to make sure at least about twice a month or so, about every other week, I just go ahead and, you know, jump in there and recalibrate. Because, again, it's kind of like the meat and potatoes of all of it here. And if your pH is not at least near the range it needs to be, you're probably going to have issues. And when you do have issues, you're probably going to think that it's a deficiency, you know, or something like that. And, you know, it can be sometimes, but in my experience so far, and even what I've seen just in front of my face, it's usually always pH. So rare that, in fact, I don't think I've really came across an instance that was, you know, actually a deficiency. It technically is a deficiency, but it's a deficiency caused by pH. And so I wanted to kind of explain pH to you guys, especially you new growers that may not know a lot about this. I wanted to kind of explain it the way I understand it and think about it, so that hopefully that'll kind of help you understand the importance of pH. And I guess first of all, before we go to the ranges, let me talk about what pH is doing and why it needs to be in a certain range. I think of your roots of your plants, like think of like pores like you have in your skin. Those pores absorb everything. And the way I understand it, if, let's say, your pH is, you know, pretty far out of range one way or the other, those pores essentially close up, is the best way to put it. So, obviously, it can't uptake what it needs, or it might lock out certain nutrients depending on what's happened there. So there's a lot of variables there, but the bottom line really is just that, you know, you want your pH within a certain range so that those pores can be opened up and, you know, the plant can uptake what it wants, and that includes water too. So if you are running your setup in let's say soil, what I usually look for is in soil, high fives, 5.6, 5.8 in the early days of seedling and, you know, when the plant's fairly small. But once it gets established and everything, I kind of bump it a little bit further up to closer to maybe 6. And then when you start seeing flowering start shortly after that, not right then, but, you know, maybe like a week later or so, I try to kind of ease it up a little bit more, maybe about 6.1, 6.2. And when I say that, that means when you mix up your water, put your nutrients in there and everything to water your plant, you want to mix up everything, do everything, and then at the end of it, use your pH meter to test it and check the pH. And so at that point, let's just say you've tested it and it's 6, or let's say 5.8, and your plant's like 2 or 3 weeks old, you're probably good to go. And that's in soil, because your pH range will vary depending on the medium you're using. Soil is probably the most common medium, that and cocoa. cocoa is a little lower than soil. It's kind of in between hydroponic and soil. So, you know, and that one you want to do maybe 5.6 or so in the early veg. And, you know, as it gets in the later veg, maybe up to maybe 5.8 or something. And then when you get to flower stage, you know, 6.1 or so, 6.2 toward the end of flower, something like that. That could even be a little high, but somewhere in that range roughly. And so that's the ranges you're looking for in those two mediums. And, you know, if you keep your meter calibrated and, you know, you religiously check that pH every time you water, just make sure, you know, you know what's going in. A lot of people let soil and cocoa will water, you know, heavily water the plant, let a lot of water go through, and then capture the runoff that's coming out of the pot and check the pH there. You can do that. But in my experience, I haven't noticed much of a reason to, unless you suspect some certain issue or something like that. But that's really about it on those. And then with hydroponics, generally it'll be lower than that. I usually shoot for like 5.5, 5.6 in seedling and, you know, veg, and then, you know, when it gets late veg, early flower, try to bump it up a little bit, maybe 5.7, and then when it's in flower, 5.8. So that's kind of the range I go by, and that's really about it, guys. I mean, you just really, the biggest thing is not just knowing this information, but practicing it, you know, making sure that you incorporate it in part of your routine, that when you mix up your water, you know, you don't do anything after that until you check the pH. And, again, keep your pH meter calibrated. And that's one of the other issues people have, is a lot of people actually don't realize you're supposed to calibrate it. So they'll be using a meter for months on end, start seeing issues, and they're like, what the hell's going on? Yeah, I'm sitting here using my Blue Lab meter, you know, and it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what kind of meter you have, as far as just a pH pen. You know, they all have to be calibrated. The only ones I haven't seen, well, actually, even really high-end actual pH devices, not pens, but the more actual lab-grade kind of products, even those. I mean, you don't have to do it nearly as often, but you still do have to do it. So I just make it a routine to just about, you know, like I say, about every 2 weeks or so, I just, you know, you can get the little, the pH liquid. It's like a three-part. It's got, what is it, pH 10, 7, and 4, I want to say. And you can get that on Amazon, just a liquid already made up. All three are different colors. Sorry, guys, I'm getting a lot of messages, probably for some of you, which is cool. But yeah, so just make sure you keep it calibrated. I don't even leave any guesswork to it. That's why I do it every 2 weeks. I think a lot of people do it like once a month, but, and you can do that if you want, because maybe depending on the meter, you don't really need to do it that often. But since it's so important, I really try to just go ahead and, you know, calibrate it every other week and just stay on top of that. Because I, you know, for you longtime followers, you know that I've definitely seen several pH issues, and it's just what it is if you don't stay on top of it. So if you need a pH meter, I recommend the Inkbird Plus. They have a nice, it's actually a 4-in-1 meter. It does pH, temp, EC, and PPM. And all of those things are something that is, you know, not a bad thing to keep up with. PPM is the concentration of your nutrients in the water. You know, so a lot of people actually keep an eye on that, as well as EC, which is the electrical conductivity. Can't really go into that much because I don't even fully understand it, but, you know, there's a lot of people that actually, I think they use EC over pH even, So I'm not sure. And again, don't quote me on that because that's something I'm not super familiar with. But, you know, you can jump on Amazon and get you, don't get one of those yellow piece of crap, like $7 pH pens. They do work, and I have used them in the past, but it's like they just lose their mind. The ones I've had, at least, they've just, you know, I might have them for a few months, and, you know, sitting there just using them, and everything looks okay, and even though I kept it calibrated, it just loses its mind, and it's showing incorrect numbers. So I really recommend go ahead and spend you a little bit of money. You can get the Inkbird Plus. I want to say it's only about, was it $25 or $30? So it's not a lot of money. There's also, what is that other one? I haven't actually had it myself, but I've heard a lot of good things. I think it was it Dr. PH or something. I can't remember, so forgive me on that one. But, you know, you can generally look at the reviews. Blue Lab is one that's, as far as the pens go, that's kind of a standard. That's what I use myself even. So, you know, doesn't matter, just as long as you get a decent one. Just don't skimp on that, because again, pH is everything. You know, if your pH is off, you know, the whole grow is going to be just a nightmare, or just problem after problem, or it's just simply not going to, you know, produce the way you would hope it would, or that it should. So definitely jump on there. If you have any questions about any of that, you know, as always, you know, just like you heard a minute ago, we're totally open for you guys to shoot us a message, and we'll definitely help you out all we can. But yeah, again, pH is a funny thing, you know, but you just have to remember that within this range, in fact, you can, I said, I really probably should put it up on the website, but there's a graphic that shows each nutrient and what pH range is optimum for uptake for that nutrient. And generally speaking, you know, around 6 is good for the whole spectrum in soil or cocoa. It just has to be lower in hydro. And like I use DWC myself, and you know, I try to keep it about 5. In fact, actually, the water I'm putting in there initially, because I just top my bucket out every day, and I actually swap the whole bucket about every other week. But between actually swapping the bucket, I have a 20-gallon reservoir that I just make a whole bunch at once, and just use that to top it out. So, but when I do that, I usually try to adjust it to around 5.5. Because with DWC, the air stone in the bucket that's making the bubbles, that oxygen actually raises the pH over time. So, yeah, you have to kind of keep that in mind. And, you know, when you, like in my case, I'm putting in about 5.5. But by the time I go to top it out again, it's going to be at probably 5.9 or something like that. So that's how I kind of balance that. And it works pretty good. I still have some issues. Still haven't, you know, dialed in DWC exactly. But with that said, production-wise and quality-wise and all that, it's doing great. But like right now, we've got that ghost tooth. I think it's day 70 today, actually. Or no, that was Tuesday. So it's probably, as of today, Friday, it's going to be day 74. So it's about to be chopped, but in the case of that one, if you jump on the IG page, you'll see it. I just posted a picture yesterday of it. And, you know, a massive, amazing plant, but I've got some little bit of spotting and things like that on the leaves because of a slight pH balance. So it is what it is. Sometimes it's not perfect, but it'll still, you know, especially if you have, like, quality genetics, you know, usually it will, you know, push on through and be okay. It just won't be necessarily pretty as far as the leaves and all that. But, you know, at the end, those are getting cut off. And in my opinion, I don't really care what the leaves look like as long as it's growing and producing and everything the way it should. So, you know, that's all subjective depending on, I guess, who you're talking to, because obviously some people would care about that, but I don't. I run, you know, I do this simply for my own medicinal benefit and, I donate a majority of it to some guys over at the VA and a couple of medical patients I know. And so that's what I do with it. And nobody cares what it looked like when it was growing. They only care about, you know, when you go to actually, you know, consume it. So, but with that said, you know, again, you just, you know, feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions about any of this. We'll try to keep this one short today. But pH is everything, guys. If you're not keeping, I mean, if you're going to put time and effort into anything day to day, make sure it's keeping an eye on your pH. So as long as you're doing that, you should be successful. But, you know, again, you have to watch out for calibration, you know, using cheap meters, stuff like that, because, yeah, in all those situations, you can be getting, you know, oh, it's telling me it's 5.9, so we're all good, but it's actually 6.5, you know, because the meter's not calibrated or it's just a piece of shit. So, like I say, personally, I use the Inkbird Plus 4-in-1 and the Blue Labs that everybody uses. The Blue Labs is kind of expensive. I think it's about $100 new. But it is a solid meter, so it's a get what you pay for kind of thing, in my opinion. But anyway, so that's pretty much it on pH, guys. Sure hope you have a great weekend, and as always, you know, hit us up with any questions you have, topics, any breeders you want to have us bring on the show and talk to, anything. You know, we really strive to make this a community thing, and we want you guys to be involved with it just as much as we are, for the most part. So we'd love to hear your feedback, and that goes with the review as well. If there's anything we do that you think we could do better, let us know. I mean, we're always trying to improve, and the biggest thing to us is just providing an easy-to-use platform that you get the information you need, and you also have a resource to contact if you have a question. So hopefully we're staying on top of that pretty good for you guys. And but like I say, if you have anything at all, man, we're here for you. And if you would, you know, subscribe, like, you know, share, all that good stuff. It really helps us, because, you know, we want to get this out there to everybody that wants it, really. So as you guys know, we're not a service that charges for anything, so we're purely here for the community. And so we want to do as much as with that as we can, and be there to help. So, and the more people we bring on board, the more our collective is, and the more we can help each other. It's like a brain trust kind of thing, because there's a lot of people out there that are super knowledgeable. You know, I'm not. I know what to do and how to do it to be successful and everything, but there's people out there that can sit there, like the EC thing on the meter. I mean, there's people that can tell you the ins and outs of all of this stuff, and that's why I like to bring on guests and talk to them, because they usually offer a different side of things that I didn't know, or maybe even present something in a way that's easier to understand. So, but anyway, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up, and much love, and you know what to do. Grow in peace.